And it's good to see each one of you out this morning. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Revelation, the sixth chapter, we'll speaking on the sixth seal, we'll read the scripture of the sixth seal, and then we want to read on through Revelation 7, 1 through 10 to go with this morning. So we'll just continue our reading right on through from the sixth seal on down into the seventh chapter of Revelation. It's good to see all of you out. Let's pray one for another. As we pray this morning, you've already prayed for Carlisle's wife. That's the one there at work that asked you to pray for, the man's wife. She had the surgery to open up the channels of what they do to clean out the arteries or veins or something in her neck. Now she's got to have open heart surgery. So it'll be possibly in the next 2 weeks, somewhere along in that. So just remember to pray for her because she's facing this operation. Let's read our scripture, Revelation 6, verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. The kings of the earth and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every freeman, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now we want to continue reading on into Revelation 7, so it'll be verse 1. And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephilim were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. And of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. And then it says, After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and all kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Let's just read on a minute. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Father, we ask you that you just bless the reading of your word. Come now and speak to us by your understanding, that we may receive, Lord, what you have for us this day. Forgive our sins. Grant, Lord, that we may be lifted up in you, in Jesus' name. You may be seated. By way of announcements, the ministers' meeting that we canceled a couple of weekends ago, the Lord willing, will be this coming Saturday here at the church. So just remember this. And if you see any of the brothers or anybody that would like to come, any of you come and fellowship with us. Some of them in Atlanta likes to call it, they like to call it a brotherhood meeting. I think they don't like the idea of people that are not ministers coming to a minister's meeting, so they like to call it a brotherhood meeting. Well, that's all right. Just call it a brotherhood meeting. You can just call it a meeting if you want to. But we'll have a meeting here, Lord, a brotherhood meeting, a minister's meeting, or whatever you want to meet. here this coming Saturday at 3 o'clock. And if the ladies, you've already started to prepare last time, so just either keep the same menu or get together later and talk about what you want to fix for the ministers' meeting. But we'll start at 3 o'clock here at the church, and just pray one for another. Just as a kind of a review back over some of the things we've been covering, we've been speaking now, this is message number 5 on the sixth seal, and just a little review. We covered last time in our services how that the conditions, you remember last Sunday we covered the conditions of the world and how that the world was coming down to a place that it would just go right on into the tribulation. Now we know this sixth seal is the tribulation. We know the bride of Christ does not go into the tribulation and all that, because we've been taught that and know it by the scriptures, because you go up in Revelation 4 and the church is not even there, and actually the breaking of the literal happening of the seals as far as what happens when they're finally revealed, like the man of sin sitting in the temple of God showing himself to be as God, that's in the tribulation to Israel. But we know that we get the spiritual revelation. They might get the actual opening and things that are pertaining unto the actual breaking of the seal, but we get the spiritual revelation. I made a little drawing on the board there to kind of help us to see some of it. It's always seemed to be confusing to people how that the seals are there and the church ages and things. Well, there's 7 church ages. You have 4 combat beasts that's placed by the prophet to cover those 7 church ages. And also the first 4 seals, if you'll read them, covers from the beginning of the church ages all the way through the church ages, and comes out to be the 4th seal is the Battle of Armageddon, which is at the end of the tribulation period. That's before the millennium comes in. See, then it shows the entire journey of man down through the time of redemption. And that's what we want to get in today and speaking on is you can just put all the redeemed, because that's what we want to see today, that when this 6th seal breaks to us, it shows all that will ever be redeemed to be redeemed at the time that this takes place under the 6th seal. See, then all of it will be there, and we'll see what we're talking about under the redemption in a minute. But just looking at the drawing, see, you got 7 church ages. You got the 4 combat beasts placed by the prophet as to where they fit, and the 4 seals revealed from the beginning of the church ages, as I said, all the way to the time that the millennium, when it's fixing to be ushered in, you have a battle of Armageddon for the destruction of the world. Then your 5th seal reveals the souls on the altar. And Brother Branham says it's on the 6th seal, but it's talking of the 5th seal Jew. He says that's Jews that are saved from Calvary. So that's why I put it back over here past the church ages, just to hire with a line. That's all that's saved from Calvary down to the time that here in the end time, that when the bride leaves out. So I just let it run right down into the 4, because that's be where it would see, because that 4th seal is already showing the earthly journey now that we saw when we was covering the seals, because the 4th seal shows leading up to Armageddon, not just the battle, but leading all the way up to it. See, then your 6th seal, being the tribulation period, we don't go into the tribulation, but we found from the Feast of the Trumpets that the prophet says that all trumpets sound under the 6th seal. And then we found from Ashamed of Him, I believe it is, last week, and I gave you the message, Brother Brandon said 6 of the trumpets has already sounded. Well, that doesn't mean we're in the tribulation period, but there's something leading up to it. Now, that's what we was trying to cover last week. There's always, it's never just in God, there's never just an ending up here and then start right that very minute, you know, back and forth. There's always overlaps. And there'll always be something to lead up to it. You don't have one church age just end here and another start. There's an overlap. It just goes in that way, and the other one laps back over here. There's always an overlap because everything's connected together. See, everything comes together as a connection together. And then in that, what I want us to see now, if you don't get my point, and some of you get a little sleepy down at the lice and don't get what I'm talking about, you know, a lot of people spend a lot of time trying to decide who this group is and who that group is and who's the bride and who ain't the bride and whether this group's in the message or not or that group's in the message. You have to take a stand on what you see. But that's none of our business. That's none of our business who's in and who ain't in. It's left up to me to know whether I'm in or not in. Now, that's what I want you to get today. That's why I said it'll show all the redeemed. You'll see it from the sixth seal that all that is, it will ever be redeemed will be revealed right here from this because that's where we'll wind up. But see, we try to figure out who's who and whatever everything is. There's no need of that. Then the sixth seal, when it opens now, when it opens, there's an overlap back into the seventh church age, you know, before we leave out of here and all. There's something that laps back there because six of your trumpets has already sounded. And what we covered last week was basically the Feast of the Trumpets. Because on that message, the prophet says that six of those trumpets has already sounded. That sixth one is that 200,000 horsemen that's loosed on Israel, or was loosed back there, on Israel to drive her to the homeland. Then we found that 20 years later, and this is what I hope you're seeing from what we're trying to cover, that 20 years after the war, which would have been somewhere along about 65, that those 200,000 horsemen is loosed on the bride to drive her to the message of the hour. Well, see, in doing it that way then, we don't look at the seal as just being something, say, well, that seal, it has nothing to do with us because that's the tribulation. That fifth seal, it has nothing to do with us. That's the Jews back there that's killed, you know, from Calvary, dies from Calvary up to the rapture. Well, what we're trying to see is the mystery of redemption. Not just Israel is redeemed. That's good. That's an understanding that most of us never had. Isn't that true? Most of your denominations, things like that, they don't know nothing about that part of it, of Israel under the fifth seal and how they're given eternal life. But yet to just see that is not the mystery of redemption to us. But we saw what pertains to them will show us something then. See, that's what we're trying to see from this sixth seal. That what we can see from them and what happens under the seal, it shows us something that happens to us to redeem us. Now that to me is the way I look at the seals. I look at the seals as being in the literal opening after we're done gone. I can read you that right out of the Feast of the Trumpets. It says when them seals broke, the Gentiles had done sealed away. See, when they literally break over there and the actual happening that's revealed are the end of each seal, it'll be done after we're gone. But yet the spiritual revelation is like I showed you there last week where Brother Branham used the word preview. He said, like John, we see a preview. John was taken up on Patmos. He saw the breaking of the seals, didn't he? Six of them. Well, he wasn't in the tribulation period, was he? I keep hammering that point because I want you to see that. That's always been a confusing place to people. How that a seal could break and they could see what it was and us not be there. Well, how could the first seal break back under? I wasn't back there. Was you? Well, you can go that way as easy as you can go that way, as I said the other day. So in the breaking of the seals, we find that there's something leads up to that sixth seal. And we looked at the condition of the world, earthquakes and all kind of things that was going on. I don't know where that I mentioned it this past week or whether it... I don't know where I've mentioned it to you or not, but Brother Woodby, and if I miss this, I'll get him to correct the way it was stated. I was talking with him the other day, and he said he heard this preacher on the radio. And said this preacher said on the radio, quoting the Secretary of the State or somebody, it was either the Secretary of the State or the something in the United States. This preacher was quoting him, and he said that it was hard now to be a Christian. Well, now, I don't think he is talking about the nominal world out there to you, because it ain't hard to be a Christian out there. But he said it's hard to be a Christian today. And he said he went on a minute, and he said, one day it'll be dangerous. And he might have said soon or something, I'll just use the word one day, but he said, it'll be dangerous to be a Christian. Now, isn't that what the prophet told us years ago? Now, a big man like that must know something. He wouldn't be just talking off the top of his hat, I don't believe, do you? And if that's not right, I'll get Brother Woodby when he comes down to show us the actual statement of what the man was saying. But just think, church. It's all got to lead up. You just don't just blunt and all at once the tribulation fall. Things start working into that. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. We said that from the very beginning. Haven't had to change my thoughts on that at all. From the very beginning, when I come into this message, I saw that it would continually get worse and worse and worse. I've always said that it would continually get worse until finally it would just bottom out, and then I didn't know what had happened to me. See, but now, those trumpets six of them has already sounded. But we know we're not in a tribulation period, are we? So that sixth seal must have something in it, and the best words I could get to describe it was like we was using the fifth seal. You remember Brother Branham said that wasn't nothing but a pre-tribulation when he was talking about the fifth seal Jew killed by Eichmann and Hitler and them. He said that wasn't nothing but a pre-tribulation, P-R-E, you know, something forerun to tribulation. Well, that's what I see about the sixth seal and six of the trumpets already sounding. Because in the breaking of that sixth seal, that prophet of God saw that six of the trumpets had already sounded. He wanted to preach the trumpets. He couldn't preach them, and the Lord come and told him, said, you've already preached it under the sixth seal. All right, then he went on and preached the message called the Feast of the Trumpets. But we saw the trumpets were far to Israel. To drive her to the homeland. All right, we saw Hitler and Eichmann and all them killing them back there, making them want to leave the countries they were in. Still today, people are killing them. They're leaving countries and going back to Israel. They've got to be there, see. All right, then what did we find that pertained to me and you? That Brother Branham said those same spirits was loosed on the bride 20 years after that war. What was it to do? To drive us to the message of the hour. See, that's our homeland. To drive us to the message of the hour, the Word. See, then we see to Israel, or their last Sunday, we saw to Israel that when they get to the homeland and the tribulation sets in and those two witnesses come, then God comes on the scene to them. Right, we saw us as coming up there and being driven to the homeland, the message of the hour, and then God comes on the scene to the bride. So they're an exact comparing one with the other of what happens to Israel under the seal. You can compare it exactly to what's happened to us under the seal. We saw on that Feast of the Trumpets at page 35, I remember that the Pentecostals, the prophet said, and all the rest reject the Bible under the sixth trumpet. He didn't say just the Pentecostals. He said the Pentecostals and all the rest. Now you remember what we brought out last week when you're reading that scripture there where it says the kings and the earth, kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and all cried for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. What was that scripture? Who's that group of people? We read it from 431 of the seal book, which is on the sixth seal, that's the people that hear this message. Because the denominational world's not looking for those things like that. They're looking to go through the tribulation, at least half of it. But we know we don't. But the prophet on the sixth seal, when he covered it, 431 there of the seal book, he said they sat right in these meetings. All right, and then what did we go back to the very scriptures there? As I told you, we're in the religious world. We're in the religious world is there a king that would be looking for the mountains and the rocks to fall on him and say he is in the tribulation. But listen, the prophet of God preached the message to the kings, to the great men, to the rich men, to the chief captains. He even went to Africa and preached to the bondmen, and he preached to the freemen. He preached around the world 7 times, didn't he? He preached to all of that category of people right there. And one of these days, that category of people, they've heard of him. And when the rocks start to fall, they'll remember they said in meetings like that, and the prophet of God said that it wasn't supposed to happen to them. See, because that would be where they'd wind up. We saw between the sixth and seventh trumpet, there was to be a prophet sent to the bride of Christ. Well, that's surely not in the tribulation period, is it? But yet that's what the prophet of God said on page 39 of the Feast of the Trumpets. On page 37 of the Feast of the Trumpets, he said between the sixth and seventh trumpet, Malachi 4 would come in there, Luke 17:30, and all the scriptures that we're familiar with. But listen, go back to what we're talking about now. On page 35 of the Feast of the Trumpets, you'll find Christ outside the church. Now that's what's revealed between the sixth and seventh trumpet. There would be a prophet standing there on the scene, which was Brother Brown's message. Outside the church, wouldn't he? I'm talking about the church world system. He was outside of that, calling for the people to come out. Revelations 18:4, come out of her, my people. That's between the sixth and seventh trumpet. Now listen. He said in the same seal, which would be between the sixth and seventh seal, well then that's where I picked it up and began to preach. Because the prophet of God talking of the sixth seal, and what it was on the sixth seal and what had happened. You can see then that prophet was standing there preaching to that group of people, trying to get them to come to Christ. What will happen over there under the same seal now to Israel? Under the sixth seal to Israel, what happens? Two prophets come on the scene, and they won't be no part of the church system, will it? And they'll be calling for them Jews to come out, and they'll call out 144,000. Compares exactly then, don't it? Both places you see Christ outside the church. You see him outside of the covenant with Israel and the Jews and the Antichrist. Under the sixth seal, calling for him to come out. You see him over here in the seventh church age, between that trumpet that was sounded to Israel in the 40s to drive her to the homeland, between there and the end of the message, you see the prophet of God standing there calling for the people to come out. Compares exactly then, don't it? See, then compare the seal and where you're at. Don't try to parallel one with the other. You can't parallel. You see where 1, 2, 3, 4 covers a combat beast, then 7 church ages, that don't even compare mathematically. Parallel. But it'll compare. And the prophet used the words compare on Christ the mystery of God revealed, and he also used it on the seal book. He said compare it. But now listen, do you see what I'm talking about now? We'll move on into something. That between the sixth and seventh trumpet, you find a prophet of God, Brother Branham's message, on the scene. Because the sixth trumpet sounded back in the 40s and 30s and all through there, the killing of Eichmann and Hitler and them to drive the people to the homeland. Between the sixth and seventh trumpet, we find Brother Brown's message coming, then, don't we? Then the brother that made the statement about it, you would know his name if I call it, about this book of the Feast of the Trumpet, said Brother Brown made so many mistakes in it, so many slips of the tongue, you can't understand his message. I just wrote it across mine because when he made the statement, and you'd know his name in a hurry because it's in the books. One of the greatest men that's supposed to have been in this day. But now, I'm not saying I know more than he does or trying to tear down. Maybe that's the way he sees it. I just don't see it that way. I'm like Brother Branham. I don't have enough education or enough sense to figure it out. So I just have to look at what types he used. And he's the one that said it, not me, on the Feast of the Trumpets. But if I let the Holy Spirit use me, then he can put it together like he put it together for the prophet. And if that don't put it together, what I just showed you, the comparing of Israel and seeing Christ outside of that covenant over there, and then look back at me and you and seeing Christ outside the church calling for them to come out, that sure compares to me now. I don't know where it does to you or not, but it does to me. But now let's just move into something now. We read the scriptures there. We've talked about the sixth seal. We've come down through there. Let's just see who's redeemed under this sixth seal. Let's just see who this group of people is that we see under this sixth seal. Let's just see what we can find on this to bring it down maybe and compare it with us then. Maybe we can compare it with us and see something about it then. But if we can do that, then we've got to know that we're right. If we can see the natural and then compare it to the spiritual of what's happening right now in our own lives, surely we can see Christ working among it. Who is that group of people now that will be saved or redeemed during the tribulation? We've all read the messages. We all know enough. On 542 of the seal book, he says that that's not the bride. So that 144,000, he said, that's Israel. He said, because the church is done gone. And he said, that's the 144,000. Then we read Revelation 7, 1 through 8. And it says there'll be 144,000 that will receive the seal of God during that tribulation period. And it names the tribes they're from. And they're the 12 tribes of Israel. And it gave the names of them. So we don't want to look at that group of people and think that might be us, because that's not us. There's great doctrines taught by great men. Maybe they know what they're talking about, but I don't. That say we're the spiritual Israel and we're one of them 12 tribes and we come to the United States and this, that, and the other. I can't see it that way. The Bible names 12 tribes of Israel. That's the 144,000 that received the seal of God in their foreheads. And it names each tribe. But now, that's the ones that receive the seal there. That's all that'll be redeemed there. That's all that's redeemed in the tribulation. Now, there's a higher point, and if you misunderstand me, please listen carefully to what I'm saying. If you misunderstand me, ask me a question about it. There'll only be 144,000 people saved in the tribulation. That's the 12 tribes of Israel. 12,000 from each tribe makes 144,000 people saved. The denominations teach that this next group that we're going to talk about is the Gentile church that'll be saved during the tribulation. Now be careful with the word saved. And I would talk with you, because saved doesn't mean just... It can be used as salvation. It can be used as saved from your sickness. But they're not talking about that. They're talking about that this great Gentile group will be born again during the tribulation. There'll not be another Gentile born again when the church of the bride leaves out of here. There'll not be another Gentile born again after then. The day of redemption will be over for the Gentiles. He turns back to the Jews. He never deals with two groups at the same time. It was a Jewish dispensation down through the Old Testament. But when they rejected that right at Calvary, they turned down the gospel. And I don't care if it is Jews over there that saved. When they was born again and placed in the kingdom on the day of Pentecost, they become Gentiles. Because Gentile means nations. That was a different dispensation. God never deals with the two groups at the same time. Then why would the brethren over cross up in the mountains up there get so confused about Jew and Gentile and this backwards and forth? Just say what the prophet said. He said he never dealt with no two groups at the same time. Now that settles it. They can believe what they want to, but that settles it for me. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost fell, it started a Gentile dispensation and has been going on ever since. But when the last one comes in and the church leaves, there won't be another Gentile saved after then. God will turn to the Jews and call out 144,000 out of the book of redemption. So when the church goes out, they can pray all they want to, because Revelation 22 and 11 says, he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that's righteous, let him be righteous still. He that's holy, let him be holy still. When God turns away from the Gentiles, you can pray all you want to then. To show you an example of it, when Judas turned the gospel down, he repented in tears but never got nothing. Esau, when he sold his birthright back there in the Old Testament, he could never get that birthright back. It was gone. Even though he sought it with tears and cried to his daddy and said, Daddy, ain't there something for me too? See, we play around with the Scriptures. We think, well, you know, there's always hopes for this and then hopes for that one. Now, when the tribulation sets in, there won't be another Gentile saved. Now, that's according to the Scriptures, because that's what we want to cover now for just for a minute. Who is this great multitude? Revelation 7 and verse 9. Now to read verse 1 of chapter 7, it says, after these things. Brother Branham in the seal book said that's after you see the seals break. After six of the seals is broke there, the seals are done broke. After these things, you see who's redeemed there under it. Then he gets up down here to this next one in verse 9. It says, after this. He said, after you see the Jews. Watch your scripture now. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and tongue, and people and tongue, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Now watch. Watch your point now in a few minutes. I'll get back to it on this. He talks about all the angels and the four beasts, all the things that happened, verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, now talking to John, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? Now watch John. And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, now John saw the tribes and named them. You'll find all this in the seal book. Read your seal book. Over in the sixth seal and seventh seal, you'll find all, especially the seventh seal, right at the beginning of it. If you want the page numbers, I'll give them to you later. Brother Branham said, see, John knew all these other tribes, but said this group he didn't know. So it's not Jews. It's not Israel's. You know, Israelites, he didn't know their tribes and things. This is another group. These are they which came out of great tribulation. Brother Brown says the great tribulation there. Talking to the sixth seal. And have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God. Now listen. I want you to get this point I said for the day. We try to categorize people into whether this group's going to be the bride, and this group's going to be the foolish virgins, and this group's going to be the Jews, and this group's going to be this, that. That's all right. But you'll see in a minute, you better not build yourself up. You better let God build you up and make you what you are. Then we won't look down our nose at somebody
Well, them Baptists, their status not in the bride.
I don't look down my nose at nobody. I'll tell everybody in a hurry where we are and where they're wrong. Pentecostals or whoever it is. It's not just say Baptists, that's just a name. But if you look down your nose at them, remember what the Bible says. Well, whatever judgment you judge shall be judged unto you. You look down your nose at somebody and say they're not in the bride. Who are you to judge?
Oh, bless God, the Bible says he did spiritual judges all things.
Yeah, it says that. We know all about that. But the spiritual knows the word of the Lord. And the spiritual knows you don't judge nobody that way. The word's what judges. It ain't me and you that makes a Jew be who he is, or me and you that makes a foolish virgin be who he is, or the bride who she is. What does the Bible say about it? Paul said in Romans that it was the potter had power over the clay to make what he wanted to make. Is that right? I want you to think about that now. If you don't get no other thought from today, I want you to think about it, because when God shows it here in the Bible, he doesn't categorize it to where that one group is way up here and another group here and another group here. He just states what they are. Look at this group. These are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now that's when it's finally shown as a group of people with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because that is the white robe. But this is not the bride. The bride's done gone. This is not Israel, because they're named over here. This is another group of people. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. You can use that very same scripture for the bride of Jesus Christ, because she's a servant to Christ, the wife to the husband, you remember? You can use the same scripture and apply it to Israel as the servants to the bride. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now, who is that group? Brother Branham on 545 and 544 and 545, he said, this is not the bride, she's already gone. He said, this is the foolish virgin, the church, he called it, that's purged during the tribulation. All right, now what I want your point now to think about, that foolish virgin will be given eternal life one of these days at the white throne judgment. Tonight we'll cover why they're in the tribulation. There's a purpose for them being there. They've got to go through the tribulation. There's a purpose for it. Something's got to happen to them. They're not under the blood of Jesus Christ. They're believers in the blood. They confess that they're under the blood, but they're not under the blood. As I said, God makes what he does out of it. God didn't make you bride. You didn't make yourself bride. God made you what you are. And by his grace, you are what you are. And everything you get, you better remember what the scripture says, you receive it. See, then we won't be categorizing this group over here and say they're not in the message. You've never heard me talk about them people not being in the message. I'll say they don't understand the message. I say them people don't understand the message. I don't like that statement people make, says they're not in the message. See, because they are in the message. It might be the mess age you're in, but they're in something. And it ain't none of my business who they are, nor yours either. I didn't put them in, and I can't take them out. They've been trying to put me out of this message ever since I got in it. The first doctrine I run into, redemption was over. And I couldn't get saved. Well, the Lord proved that. He just went ahead and saved me anyway. It didn't matter what man thought about it. But just think now. This is the foolish virgin that will be given eternal life at the white throne judgment.
Now, when this comes to them with white robes, you've already went to the judgment. It's already come to the judgment when it comes to that place. I'm just using Revelation 7 to show you the group. But in the tribulation period, they give their lives for the gospel that they believe. See, they're confessing they believe it. And they give their lives for the gospel. And the Bible said it's a great multitude of people. Let's look at them again just a minute in Matthew 24, 25, excuse me. As the wise and the foolish virgin. Look in Matthew 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Listen. Now the Holy Ghost is what you're talking about, oil. Oil is the type of the Holy Ghost. One group here has the Holy Ghost, the other group don't have it. That's the difference in the two. But both of them are foolish, are virgins, and virgin means a high moral standard. It doesn't refer, which it would in the total extent, it doesn't refer to virginity of a person. It refers to the holy life they're living. Now, the other part would go with it, but it doesn't refer to it like that. It refers to the life they're living. And, you know, they're good moral people. You know them out there. You're with them every day. You talk to them about the message. They just can't see it. And we'll read in a minute who they are. Brother Brown said they either didn't hear this message or were blinded by false shepherds. I might have blinded a lot of people. I might still be blinding you. I might be the false shepherd. You better decide that. Because he said that's what it would be, blinded by false shepherds. See, they're good people. But look what the Scripture says. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. See, they had oil in their vessels with their lamps. Not just oil in the lamps. You can be anointed by the Holy Ghost on your spirit and do great things. But what about oil in your vessel? I've never seen that scripture rightly until just then. It says oil in their lamps. They took oil in their lamps. Everybody can say, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. That can be the Holy Spirit on an anointed one at the end time and let it shine. But your wise virgin took oil in their vessels. In their soul, they've got the Holy Ghost. The others have just got oil in the lamp. People's always argued about whether these said this is going out and that. I never could understand that scripture just then, but I see it now. Do you see it? They got oil in their vessels. Vessels is the Holy Ghost dwelling in your soul. Lamp is just a lamp. You can be anointed on your spirit. You can be justified and sanctified and be anointed on your spirit. We know the message, don't we? But listen. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps while the bridegroom tarried. They all slumbered and slept. Ain't that about what people's doing now, naturally and spiritually? They're both of them. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go you out to meet him. That had to be Brother Brown's message, didn't it? Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise. Now read now the scripture here in Matthew 25. Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered. We're down to verse 9 now. Saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. In other words, we got just enough for ourselves. We can't give it to you. I can't give you the Holy Ghost. Ain't nobody can give you the Holy Ghost. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. Now listen, pitiful situation, ain't it, for these others. And they that were ready went with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Redemption will be over then once. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Now that's the same group that you're talking about in Revelation 7.
It's the virgin, the pure, clean person, the virgin. But there's some there that believes. That's why I've always tried to preach this away. From the very beginning, but not knowing it would finally wind up this way under the seal. But I've always tried to get you to see that we don't throw off on nobody. We don't throw off on a person because they're Baptist, Methodist. My family's out there. And I got probably more in my family than any of you got in yours. And they're out there in that religious system, and basically every one of them are religious, even the preachers in the family, nephews and brother and everything else. The Bible said every man stands before his own master. Paul said the potter hath not, the clay don't have power over the potter, but the potter hath power over the clay to make whatever vessel he wants to make. It was his choosing to choose you to be who you are, but he also chose them to be who they are. Now watch that in just a minute. What's that come through the Bible from Genesis all the way? But just think now. That sixth seal's to this book. The seventh seal is the mystery that's hid in the book. It's got to be in the book, but it's the mystery. There's only six seals to this Bible. How many seals did Isaiah see? Six. How many seals did Moses see? Six. How many seals did Jesus preach in Matthew 24? Six. How many seals did John put on the Isle of Patmos when he was there? Six. There's only six seals to the book. And those six seals would have to reveal every name that would ever be redeemed, because this book is the book of life. This Bible is the book of life. You remember that from back yonder, the messages we preached on the book, and that this book of life is just names? Well, every name then is revealed on the sixth seal, before the seventh opens on his coming. So then that would be foolish virgins, Jews, bride, everything. By the time that comes, all that's redeemed will be redeemed, and their names will be put in the Lamb's Book of Life. They'll get eternal life. But now here's what I want you to think about. Think about heaven. Do you see what I'm driving at? Now I want you to see that point, that when the sixth seal breaks, it shows all that will ever be redeemed. They're already settled right there. It might be a long time before they get eternal life at the White Throne Judgment. That's 1,000 years later. But still, as they are there when the seal breaks, is how they face God. And the Bible says, a cup of water in my name shall not be forgotten. And them that are kind or are good to the brethren come up there and get eternal life. That's why, church, I've always said it this way. Your family. Now, you watch it in a minute and see if it won't fit the Bible. Your family could get eternal life just because of who they are. I'm talking about the ones that are not even in the message or anything like that we're talking about. I'm talking about them that are out there. That your family, that you think your daddy was a drunk, that you think your mama was a wrong person, that you think all the things wrong, and you know they are in the world and all, but God can change that situation. I believe in that kind of a God. I believe in a God that can bring and give you whatever you want. If He can give me the desires of my heart now, could not He give me the desires of my heart when I sit on the throne with Him? Sure, when it comes to judgment day, all of us know the setting. There'll be the bride of Jesus Christ sitting on the throne with Him to White Throne Judgment. We sit on the throne with Him, not standing before Him. Somebody else comes there to be judged. But He can give eternal life to those He wants to. He's the one that made the vessel. Don't think I've left your family out just because they don't believe the way I believe. I told you, I'll read it to you if you want. Let's see, 570. Five something in here, I know. It's in the seal book, if I can find it. 575, and you also find it on, I believe it's 489. But listen to who he says it is. The first thing was that the sleeping virgins had to go through the tribulation period for purification. She had to be purged of her sins of unbelief. Now listen to it. You say, oh, them people out there in unbelief ain't got a change. People in this message preach, oh, them people ain't got a change in unbelief. I'll show you tonight, the Lord willing, the sixth seal does something to that person. It's right there in the message. Compares exactly to what happens to me and you. But listen to what he says. Purged of her sins and rejecting the message. People say, oh, you reject this message. You're it. Sure. Brother Branham said one time on the throne of mercy and judgment that if you reject the message, you go into total darkness, you're lost. Sure, if you see it and reject it, we know how all the message. But just cause somebody turns down something, you go tell them. We're going to be like Jehovah Witnesses. And if there's one ever heard this, I hope he'd forgive me for even that. But there was a man at work one time tried to talk to me about a little young boy. Just a kid. Tried to talk to me about how the Jehovah Witness was right. And I said, son, that's not right in the Bible. And I tried my best to reason with him day in and day out. He swept right beside my job. And day in and day out, I discussed the Bible with him, trying to get him to see that that wasn't right. You know what he finally done? Cast the dust off his feet at me. Wouldn't even sweep right the dust out from under my feet at our work. Wouldn't even speak to me. Finally one day I said, son, I won't talk to you. You know, he didn't care about talking to me. I said, look, son, I know what you've done. I know your Jehovah Witness doctrine is that when a person turns down what you say, you cast the dust off their feet. Yeah, we know where it comes from. I said, look, son. I said, you drawed a big old circle and drawed me out of your fellowship. But I said, I drawed a big old circle of love and drawed you back in. I said, don't do that, son. I said, don't matter what you believe, don't do it that way. Well, we know who it is doing the talking. I said, you might do it. But you also know that you can't get nobody converted acting that way. Even if you believe what you believe, you can't get nobody converted to your way of believing it, acting that away. So don't act like that, son. He'll speak to me now when he sees me, but that's all. He'll throw up his hand, but that's all he'll do. He'll just speak, hide it, and that's all he'll do. But I said, son, I drawed a great big circle and put you back in it. See, are we going to be Jehovah Witnesses? Oh, I talked to that man about water baptism, named Lord Jesus Christ, and he turned me down, and I ain't speaking to him no more. What if you'd have done that the first time I talked to you? What if I'd have done that to you the first time I preached to you here in this church? Oh, we get lifted up high and mighty, don't we? The Bible says, he that is humble shall be exalted, and he that is exalted shall be abased, which means down. We say, oh, they reject the message. God puts the message to them in a certain way, and if they turn that down, then they are lost eternally. Those Pharisees had the gospel preached to them in a certain way by the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were eternally lost. But there was a man named Nicodemus one time that just couldn't believe what Jesus said. You remember that in the Bible? There was a man named Gamaliel that just couldn't believe what was said over about Paul or one of them. And he said, if this be of God, leave it alone. And Brother Branham named those two men in the church age book and said Gamaliel and Nicodemus would receive eternal life. Nicodemus couldn't understand what Jesus was saying. Did he reject Jesus and walk off? Oh, he rejected me, so I'm... Walks off. Don't be too quick to judge. Walk soft. That's what I want you to see with this message today, because judgment is your sixth seal. And judgment begins at the house of the Lord. It better begin in my life and yours. When I talk about denominations, just remember what I said in this message today. they can get eternal life. Me and you might miss it. They could get eternal life just being who they are. Now listen, church. A hottentot in Africa that don't know his right hand from his left one can get eternal life one of these days. Where did he turn down the message or not get the message? Watch what Brother Brown said. She had to be purged of her sins of unbelief and rejecting the message. This she was done in the tribulation period. You see, they wind up in here in Revelation between the 6th and 7th. The pure people that didn't have the opportunity maybe to receive the message. Now that's people that's never heard it. Or in some way that they were blinded by these false prophets. That's people in the message. So it covers both sides, don't it? And they didn't get a chance, and yet they're really sincere in heart, and God knows their heart, and here they're purged during this time. A hottentot in Africa. The best example I can give to you is that if you got a man there that lives good, you got a man there that's not a thief and a crook like some of the rest of them are renegades, they call them. You remember Brother Branham talking about the tribes of Africa? How that a girl, before they were married, what happened? They had to have a virginity test to see whether they were virgin. And if they wasn't, when they went to marry, they had to tell who the man was, and they killed both of them. A girl done things wrong, they turned her out of the tribe. That's Africa. That's people that don't even know about God. Their morals are so high that they don't have any problems. But see, us self-righteous Americans look down our nose on them and call them hottentot. In other words, a person that don't know his right hand from his left. But the best example I can tell you of it is when that person stands before God, he'll be judged by what he is in his own life. And God can give him eternal life. But that renegade, he won't get life. See, God can change the whole scenery. That's what I want you to see from this sixth seal. He can change the whole scenery of everything if we'll just believe him. Now, here's what I want you to think about for a minute. If you can see that all of redemption winds up on the sixth seal, that finally all that'll ever be redeemed, even though they get it later now, their redemption is set there when that seal breaks. And Israel receives the gospel, and 144,000 of them are saved. Now, here's what I want you to think about a minute. We know there'll be levels there. There'll be the bride of Christ. There'll be the 144,000, and there'll be Israel as a nation, and there'll be foolish virgins there out of the Gentiles. Now, that's what we just covered. And all of that showed on the sixth seal. Now, I want you to think a minute. Will it be jealousy in heaven? When this world's over, you know, and we all get into heaven, the judgment's over, and everybody that gets there is there. Will it be jealousy there? Where would there be something for jealousy to come from? When eternal life is there. The bride will be eternal. The Jews, 144,000, they'll be eternal. We're talking about body, spirit, soul, everything now. We're talking about in eternity when the world's over. I want you to get a little illustration from this, nothing else today. The bride, the 144,000, they're all eternal. The natural Jew that's under the fifth seal that's given eternal life, they'll be eternal then. And the natural nations that under the foolish virgins and the people given eternal life, they'll come up there and give that life, give their life for the gospel and be given life. They'll be in eternity with us. Will they be, let me use the word this way in no disrespect, will there be segregation there? There won't be nothing for it to be there, will it? Will there be separations there of the bride, her place, and the 144,000, and then the Jews of the nation, and then the Gentiles out here? Will me and you walk down through there and say, he's not in the message? Will that 144,000 look over at the next group and say, you wasn't in our message? Will that fifth sealed Jew look over at you wasn't in our message? Now, if it ain't going to be there, why is it here? If it ain't going to be there, why is it here? We claim salvation has set us free. But yet we look down on our nose, you know. Well, that brother so-and-so out yonder, he's not in the message. He made a prediction the other day and it didn't come to pass. He's not in the message. And then he looks down on the next one and he says, he's not in the message. The Baptists look at the Methodists, they want all of them Baptists. The Methodists wants all of the Baptists to be Methodists. The Pentecostal wants them all. And we'd like to have them all, wouldn't we? To believe our message. Where would God then be able to display His attributes that way? Now I want you to think with me for a minute, because this is what I see from this seal. That's what I see, the sixth seal revealing all of redemption and coming down to this and how it all done. There won't be no degrees in heaven, but I want you to think a minute. There will be degrees, like you remember when Brother Branham was taken beyond the curtain of time and they picked him up and set him up. They said, on earth you was a leader. He didn't want to get up there, did he? What am I doing up here, he said. They said, on earth you was a leader. There'll be leaders, there'll be kings, and there'll be priests, and there'll be all kind of things. Maybe not priests like you maybe would think what I meant, but there'll be kings and all in eternity. There'll be rulers in eternity. There'll be people there that are working and doing all kind of things. And there'll be servants to the bride, and there'll be the bride, and there'll be all of us. But will God look out when He walks down through there and the little bride walking with Him? Will they have guards like sticks or knives or something to drive off that other part and keep them away? Oh, everybody will be eternal then. You remember the illustration of how the prophet said that the wedding feast was, and I thought that's what we're all supposed to go to. When they got through washing the person and, you know, their feet and their face and giving them an ointment, they put a garment on them and everybody looked alike, didn't they? You couldn't tell the difference in the rich and the poor. I believe that's what the Bible's telling us. That when we get to heaven, you can't tell the difference in the rich and the poor. You can't tell the difference in the servant and the bride. But everybody will do their job because they know why they got there. Everybody will do voluntarily. You know what the Jehovah Witness idea is of heaven? You know what it is? I've talked with them and discussed it enough to know what their idea is. Their idea is that we were building cars yesterday down at General Motors, and, you know, all of us a little tired and wore out, you know, and sleepy and dragging, and people fussing and fighting all over the plant. They got where now they have a fight just about every day out of somebody. And just snorting and cussing and raising Cain and, you know, just acting like the devil. Because it just wore out. We've been working so long, 9 hours a day and then 8 hours every other Saturday, work so long, we just give out. I can go to sleep all night, and still get up in the back of my legs. It's killing me because I'm just wore out from working so much. Riding and everything else. But listen, the Jehovah Witness think that all you got to do is just be going along building cars today and you're unhappy. Tomorrow you come to work and build cars and just be happy. Oh, glory, hallelujah, just to building automobiles and going right on in civilization. Now that's what they think. Now we know better than that, but we laugh at them, but that's what they think. But yet we get it all up into heaven and we have all kind of little categories for this and a little category for that and one for that. When you get there, everybody will be eternal. But I want you to think now, why is it that everybody will know who they are? There won't be no problems. And then you'll see why I read that scripture there, and it says the Lamb will lead them. Talking about the foolish virgin. When he goes out down among them, they'll be just like we are. But you know what? They'll know who they are, and we'll know who we are. The Bible says you'll be known as you're known. Is that true? All right, now think with me for a minute. Back in Genesis, if there hadn't have been a fall, there wouldn't have been no sin, would there? Now shake yourself and think with me. They wouldn't have been a fall, would they? And if there hadn't have been a fall, there wouldn't have been nothing there but the bride of Jesus Christ, the sons and daughters of the living God. Now, is that true? If there hadn't have been no fall, now you think with me, because I'm trying to get you to see something from it. If there hadn't have been a fall in Genesis, there wouldn't have been nothing there but the bride of Jesus Christ and God Himself as Creator. And Brother Branham said that wouldn't have allowed Him to display His attributes. Is that what He said on Christ is a mystery of God revealed? Said He had attributes in Him as a healer and things like that? All right, now think. If there hadn't have been a fall, there wouldn't have been no sin. There wouldn't have been no sinner. There wouldn't have been nothing but the bride of Christ and God Himself. But because that fall came like it did, we'll use just figures now, just purely for an example form only now. That's all I'm doing. We'll say that there was 2 million brides. Well, that's all they would have been there. But because of the fall and the coming the way that we have, there'll be a Jew that was down through that Old Testament and New that will be good people and be given eternal life. That fifth seal shows that those, since Calvary coming down, will be given eternal life. They wouldn't have got life if it hadn't been for the fall. There'll be 144,000 servants, eunuchs to the bride. They wouldn't have been there if it hadn't been for the fall that was made. Then there'll be a foolish virgin in heaven that wouldn't have been there if it hadn't been for a fall. You say it's bad to think that my brother will die and go to hell one day. But it's good to think that my brother might also be given eternal life because he's my brother. You say, well, my mother and daddy might die and go to hell one of these days. Look like God would have just kept it from coming like it was. What if he had? He would have just created you. You wouldn't have had a mom and daddy. But now he can give you your mother and daddy to go to heaven with you. If there hadn't have been a fall, you remember what they said to Brother Branham? Brother Branham, if you hadn't have went, we wouldn't be here. Is that what they said to him beyond the curtain of time? If you hadn't have went. They were resting on what he said and done. You just think now in heaven then, everybody will know who they are. And they'll know that they were given eternal life because of you. But you'll know you were given eternal life because of Him. And everybody will know who they are and everybody will be happy. The best illustration I could give you of it is one simple little point. I was talking to some brothers the other day and it came to me. But just think now, church, if it hadn't have been for the fall we made, there wouldn't be no foolish virgin. I hope you see what I'm talking about. There wouldn't be no 144,000. There wouldn't be no Israel to be there. They'll be there on account of us. Not on account of us falling. On account of displaying God's attribute. But some men, we were talking about this the other day, and I said, well, the best illustration I can give it is, suppose I had $50 million. Now, just illustration-wise, you think about it, and you'll see there can't be no jealousy in heaven when we get there. Suppose I had $50 million. And just out of the goodness of my heart, now, Brother George, I don't owe you a thing or nothing. Nothing in the world. You know, talking like that. Just out of the goodness of my heart, I'd walk up to you, I'd say, you know, I like you. And I want you to take this $5 million and just use it like you want to. You couldn't spend in your lifetime the taxes off of $1 million. Is that true? I mean the interest. Excuse me. You couldn't spend the interest off of $1 million and live a good, real, rich, comfortable life. $1 million would make more interest than what you could spend. Way on more than what I make a year. And I'd just give you $5 million. Would you be jealous of my $45 million I had left? Would you say, boy, I wish I had this other $45 million going mine? He had a wart on his nose, and every time he thought of it, he'd grow crisis big. You know, that's an old saying everybody used to have. And I wish I had a car like him, and he had a wart on his nose, and every time he thought of it, his wart would grow twice as big. That's jealousy, ain't it? But I wouldn't owe you a thing. You didn't deserve it. But just what I wanted you to have, I'd just give you $5 million and I'd keep 45. Would you be jealous of my 45? Or would you tell everybody in the world about getting your, how you got your $5 million? Now to me, that's what heaven is like. That's to me is what the degrees is like of heaven. That when we get there, everybody will know who they are and why they got there. And then you don't have to make them get out of the way and protect the Lord Jesus. They're there on account of Him, just like the rest of us, because it's all through Jesus Christ. But when we walk along beside of Him, they'll know they're there because of us. That foolish, that 144,000, that servants to the bride, they'll sing Amazing Grace just like we do then. They'll sing just like we do about the praises of Jesus. The foolish virgin, everybody will be just all the same. Everybody will be happy to be there. And there won't be jealousy of one over the other one. Everybody will be dressed alike, look alike, but everybody will know who they are. And if I don't make it as bride and I'm the foolish virgin, I'll know that I got there because you fell away. The Bible says you'll be known as you're known. That foolish virgin, that 144,000, that Israel, all that's there will know who the bride is. But we'll all know who He is. See, each group can say, if it wasn't for y'all, I wouldn't be here. But we'll all say, if it wasn't for Him, then we wouldn't be there. Let's stand together. Father, we hope that our thoughts in this, Lord, was enough that what You gave us to, for the people to understand what was upon our heart. We ask You to guide each one, Lord. Show us, because we see from these seals that all the redeemed that will ever be redeemed, they'll know who they are. They'll know why they come, where we are. Guide us all, Lord. Teach us to wait. Because in waiting upon You, and You'll fulfill Your word. You promised it in Jesus' name. Let's just sing a hymn. If anyone has a need, the altar's open. Let's just try that number 4, can we? Number 4 in this book. He keeps me singing.
There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still. in all us lies ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife. This could fill my heart with pain. Jesus swept across a broken stream, stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Singing as I go.
Church, my whole purpose is one thing. To preach Christ. That you can see Him throughout the message. That you can see Him throughout the Bible. But that you can see Him throughout our lives. There can't be no jealousy in heaven. We all know that. But you know what the Baptist idea of it is? Most of you others, I'm not, as I said, I just call a name. That's just purely for a name. They're going along here today, like we was talking about the Jehovah Witness, and they think, well, we'll just be going along here today building cars, tomorrow we'll just build cars and be happy. Most of your denominations think that they're just going to be going along here today, and they're mad at their neighbor, and they're jealous of because people's got a better car, better home, better this or better that, you know, and better things, or jealousy in the message, ministry of one jealous of another. They think, well, just tomorrow we'll just go to heaven, and we won't have none of that no more. I don't see that, do you? Just be what you are. Just accept it like you are. Just be what you are, then you don't have to worry about nothing else. Then you can be the same at work as you are here at church. I don't want to be a hypocrite. Try to be something here on Sunday morning to you and be something else at work or around my family at home. I want Christ to be the center of my whole life. You can be a human being then and laugh and have a good time. And right in the midst of all troubles and heartaches, you can have peace in your heart. But you get all that old jealousy and strife and envy and things. That's not right. I hope the illustration I give you today shows you that's not right. That even the bride, she sits there with Him, but yet she sees no different. The foolish virgin, she sits there, she sees no different, but yet she knows. The Jews as servants to the bride, they see no different, yet they know. Maybe that, I'm not saying this is true, but maybe that's what the prophet said when he said there'll be things in the millennium that won't be in the future home. I don't know. I'm just saying that. That just come to me, and I just say what come to me. Maybe in the millennium, there'll be foolish virgins. I mean, excuse me, won't be no foolish virgin in the millennium. But there'll be degrees in the millennium. Maybe when you get to the future home, there won't be nothing because everything's eternal. I don't know. I'm just telling you what comes to me. Maybe that's what he's saying when he says there'll be things in the millennium that won't be in the future home. Because when I see the future home, I see everybody happy, no jealousy, but I can still see them knowing who they are, believing who they are. And then we can all go up. Listen, church, we think we can worship, we sing, and I appreciate you singing. It's doing better. I comment you on it. Your singing's doing better. You're singing louder and better, and I can hear at least you in the back room. Sometimes I can't hardly hear you there. But you're doing better with it. I appreciate that. But you think, we think we know about worship. What about a time when the prophet of God said it'll come to the cool of the evening? Now, I don't know what that means in heaven. I don't know anything about those things. But he said you come down the cool of the evening. He said we'll all gather together. He said, we'll go up on the mountain. And he said, we'll all get down and worship and say, Abba, Father, if you hadn't have come, we wouldn't be here. Well, I don't think church is going to be set off that's got a little bride's place here to worship, and a foolish virgin place to worship, the Jew's place to worship, the servant's place. We'll all be gathered around one. We'll all be bowing down and saying, Abba, Father. Because we love Him, don't we? Let's just sing it to Him. Feasting on the riches of His grace, resting neath His sheltering wing, always looking on His smiling face. That is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I... Anyone have a need now? The altar's open. Though sometimes He leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see His footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Listen to the last now. Soon He's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with Him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every keeps me singing as I go. Amen. Appreciate each one of you being out this morning. Just pray one for another. Just pray for us this afternoon that the Lord would guide us and direct all of us in our paths. Anyone have anything to say before we dismiss? If not, remember the minister's meeting now next Saturday, this coming Saturday, here to church, 3:00. If you see anybody,